Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 will be the, we'll start in verse 5. We'll start there, the focus of our study today. Today we get into prayer. You know, as I've talked about, this is it's a building fund drive. What has prayer got to do with it? Well, you know, we're not ready to build anything until we get a prayer life. We're not ready to give to anything until we get a prayer life. And so on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus continues in Matthew chapter 6. And today we're going to talk about prayer life. Actually, today and next Sunday, we're going to talk about prayer life. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. There Jesus said, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we are indeed thankful for your goodness to us. We thank you for your mercy. That, Lord, you forgive all sin. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. That we are all truly blessed beyond measure. And we thank you for prayer, the avenue in which you have given us to communicate with you, knowing that you hear us when we pray. Father, I pray in this message your will be done, that you would work it for your honor and for your glory. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, according to statistics, there are somewhere in the neighborhood of approximately 7.8 billion people in the world today. Isn't it amazing to think that out of 7.8 billion people, God wants to talk to you? I mean, who are you? Who am I? That the God of the universe, who created all things, would stop and give audience to me. But he will. As a matter of fact, we're told in Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, ask and it will be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Repeatedly throughout the New Testament, especially in the life of Jesus, we're told ask. James, in the book of James, we're told you have not because you don't ask. Prayer life is so very important. But the thing about prayer is you have to do it correctly. Okay? Today we're going to talk about correct prayer. God-honoring, God-receiving prayer. And we start with the question, what is prayer? Well, it's very simple. Prayer is meaningful communication with God. Key there is meaningful. Now, I can rattle off a prayer and it have no substance. I can recite a prayer and that there'd be no heart in it. I can do all that, but the warning that Jesus gives here is a warning against such things. He said, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't have those empty, meaningless conversations with God. Because prayer is intended to be a sharing of the heart between you and God. And it's a great example of sharing that we're talking about this morning is Exodus 33:11. Where it says that the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Have you ever had such an experience? Neither have I, but I would sure like to give it a whirl. How about you? Oh, listen, prayer is so important. But you have to understand prayer is also a spiritual battle. For anybody, not just you, but for me also, Satan is always there trying to hinder and or stop your prayer life. When I'm trying to pray, guess what happens? My phone will ring every time. Without fail. Or I'll get a text. Or if it's not that, somebody will come in and we'll have company at just that moment. I'm trying to focus my attention toward God. When I pray, these things happen. Also, when I pray, my thoughts go everywhere. You have that problem? Heavenly Father, thank you for your provision. Oh, what have I got to do next Thursday? Oh, I've got company. Oh, I almost forgot I've got a doctor's appointment. Heavenly Father, it's a battle. And I think most of us don't understand that Satan is behind this battle. The one thing he does not want you to do is prayer. And you have to understand you are a target. When you start to try to establish a prayer life, you get ready, because when you get on your knees, Satan's going to be whispering in your ear all the things that you've left undone. And even if you get away from the distractions, he'll whisper in your ear, oh, you remember? Who are you to talk to God? Yeah, I remember what you were. God's not listening to you. And he throws all that nonsense in there that makes you just stop and say, what's the use? But I want to point out something to you. When you're under attack and you're in that prayer, Jesus experienced the same thing. 40 days and 40 nights he was on the mountain praying. And you remember what happened? Satan showed up. That's when he tempted Jesus. So you're no different than your Savior Jesus Christ. But that's no excuse. You know, I think sometimes we just give up too easily. Ah, there's no use. I'll go on. No. Listen, if you don't have a prayer life, you don't have a spiritual life. That's how vital it is. And so we're told in the Scripture, do not be a hypocrite when you pray. There are prayers that are ineffective. And most, honestly, I think that most people have the idea that if I go through the motion, if I set aside morning prayer time and I go through the motion, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, amen, you know, amen, and go on. That's not prayer. That's not prayer. Although that's what most people have for a prayer life. Jesus said, don't be like the hypocrites. What are the hypocrites? We talked about that last week. They're actors. And what did the hypocrites do when they prayed? They loved to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners. You know when they prayed? They prayed when there was a crowd to see them. Anywhere that they could be watched and even praised for their holiness by everybody else. And you know what's really sad is Jesus said, you know, they pray in the synagogues and they stand on the street corners, the busiest intersections where people are coming through, and people see them and they have their reward. Don't you want more? That's not what a prayer life was intended to be. It's really sad when you stop and think they spent all this time praying and they're not going to get anything from God. What a shallow, meaningless reward. Listen, I want to tell you something. When you start praying for the acceptance and the approval of people, you stop praying to God. It's not about people. And you know, one of the big questions here would be, well, Brother Doug, we pray in public all the time. Is public prayer wrong? Absolutely not. Public prayer is not wrong. But it has to be done correctly. See, Solomon prayed publicly and when they were dedicating the temple in 1 Kings chapter 8. Daniel, do you remember Daniel the prophet? How did he pray? He went to his window and prayed for all to see. Jesus prayed publicly when he fed the 5,000. It says he gave thanks, blessed the meal before they took it. So I want you to understand there's nothing wrong with praying publicly. The problem is when you start praying publicly to impress the people who are around you. And that's what happens. Many people have trouble even thinking of praying in public. I've heard, well, it makes me nervous and I don't want to say the wrong thing. It's because you're thinking of the wrong people when you're praying. To be honest with you, if you're called on to pray in public, you're not going to talk to me. And if I'm here evaluating your prayer, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing anyway. So put no faith in what you hear. If I say, oh, that was a wonderful prayer, just say, thank you, Brother Doug, but I wasn't talking to you. Right? So you've got to get that mentality in your mind, whether you're praying publicly or whether you're praying privately. You are speaking to the God of the universe that spoke this creation into existence. Not speaking to me or to others. And I do know that there are people who just can't do the public prayer thing. That's okay. Okay? It's all right. If you tell me don't call on you to pray, I'll try to remember not to call on you to pray. It's perfectly all right. But you have to have a prayer life. Okay? If you have no prayer life, how are you going to attain the guidance? You say, well, Brother Doug, I get into the Word of God to obtain guidance. Yes, but you cannot comprehend the Word of God without prayer. I don't know how many times I've been studying and I think, Lord, I can't get this. Please help me. And the next thing I know, it's like, wow. Wow, that's what it means. And it reminds me, I say, Lord, I'm sorry, I should have prayed before I started instead of when I couldn't go any farther. Listen, you gotta have a prayer life. Jesus also said, do not use vain repetitions. What's vain repetitions? Well, that's literally in the Greek, it says babble. That's used the same words over and over again, and Jesus said that's what the heathen did. They would say the same words over and over again, thinking their gods would hear them because they kept repeating the same words. You see, when the pagans would pray, their idea of their God was to bother their God so much that he would finally be so tired of hearing them talk that he would answer their prayer. So that's why they would repeat the same thing over and over. And over, you remember Elijah, when Elijah faced the prophets of Baal over in the 1 Kings chapter 18? It says that the prophets of Baal cried out to Baal all day long. Imagine, if you will, people running around, oh, Baal, hear us, 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 oh, Baal, hear us. They did it all day long. I don't know about you, but I just say, shut up. I don't know if he hears you, but I've had enough. But listen, we do the same thing. You know, we go to God, and it's okay to pray and ask, repeat your prayer, or ask for the same thing more than once. The Apostle Paul prayed for God to remove his thorn in the flesh 3 times. And God finally told him, my grace is sufficient for you. So it's okay to ask for the same prayer or say the same prayer. But listen, you're not praying to inconvenience or impress God. Oh, Heavenly Father, Thou art Creator of all heaven and earth. Oh, Heavenly Father, I'm nothing. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just... Get real is what He's saying. Be real in your prayer life. You see, God knows that I'm not this big formal something to put on, you know. God knows who I am. And He knows my heart. And He's not impressed by the words that I could spill out there. He very simply wants to have a meaningful conversation with me. And that's what prayer is. See, but we get it. We are in danger of those repeat a prayer kind of mentalities. We teach our children to pray, now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep if I should die before I wake. Pray the Lord my soul to take. There's nothing wrong with that prayer. But don't just teach your children to pray. Teach them that prayer comes from the heart. If you can't pray it from the heart, you're just using vain repetitions. Okay? You see, God is too great a God for us to just go through the motion of a prayer life. You got to have a meaningful conversation with God. Now I want to ask you, when's the last time you had a meaningful conversation with God? Conversation, the very definition of the word conversation, it's the exchange of information between two parties. That means you give information and you sit and you listen for information from the other party, right? Listen, do you pray and just stop and listen for God? That's part of conversation. Jesus kind of follows up. He gave the what nots to. He said, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a heathen. He said, but when you pray, go into your room. There in verse 6. You got to have privacy. You've got to have alone time with God. You know, I preach messages like this, and I've preached this message probably 20 times during the course of my ministry. Not this same message, but this concept. And people often tell me, Brother Doug, I just don't have time. I have kids. We go to soccer practice. We go to cheerleader practice. We're a traveling baseball team. We do this. We do that. I just can't find the time for prayer. Wait a minute. Please listen. You have just as much time as I do. There is 24 hours in every day. And how we spend that 24 hours is up to us. Now, if you spend your 24 hours taking the kids to everything under the sun and you leave at 5 a.m. and you don't get home until 10 at night, then maybe you need to do a little elective surgery on your schedule. Okay? I'm saying your kids shouldn't do things. I'm not. But I'm saying life has got to have time to include God in life, or life is meaningless. You see, you do have as much time as everybody else. You just choose to spend it without prayer. But I want to tell you something very important. Jesus needed prayer. And he needed prayer because he was so busy. See, we think we're so busy, we don't have time for prayer. When you know what Jesus did when he got busy? Luke 5:15 says, however, the report went around concerning him, that's Jesus, all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear him and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So what did Jesus do? He worked for 48 hours straight. He didn't sleep. He didn't rest. He didn't stop. He kept going and going. And that's not what Jesus did. When everybody was making all these demands on his life, verse 16, he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and what? Say that word. And prayed. I don't have time is just a very poor excuse. Okay? You do have time. I know that life makes a lot of demands. But what you have to understand is that you cannot meet these demands apart from your Savior Jesus Christ giving you the strength to do so. If you have no prayer life, you have no strength. You have to have alone time with you and with God. Close the door. Second thing, you have to have priority. Shut the door, meaning no distractions. Right? That means when you pray, who is the most important person in the room? God. Have you ever tried to have a conversation with someone whom every 2 minutes was answering a phone call? Or, wait a minute, I got to send this text. What do you do? Go talk on the phone. This is not working. I hate it when people come to my office for counsel and their phone rings. Wait, Brother Doug, I got to get this. Why you come here and look for my help when you're not going to give me your attention? What you're saying is your phone call or your text is more important than the subject we're discussing. Right? This is God. This is not a pastor. This is not a best friend. This is God. Why in the world would you be praying and say, whoop, hold on, God, my wife is calling or my friend is calling? Or why? And this is going to make some of you nervous. It's going to make some of you uncomfortable. Are you ready to be uncomfortable? Okay, are you not ready to be uncomfortable? It's going to make you uncomfortable. Turn your phone off. Okay? Do you notice what we do with our cell phone? We can be 5 miles away from home and we remember, oh, I forgot my cell phone. You know what we should do? We should dance and say, yeah, I won't have to deal with anything for a little while. Instead, we will turn around and we will go home just as fast as we can to grab that phone and look and say, nobody called. I think probably the best therapy that most people need is to turn that phone off. Okay? You say, Brother Doug, I've got a business. I understand you got a business. You still have to get away and be alone with God. And the only way that's going to happen is for you to turn off the phone. And I promise you this. God will take care of the business if you'll take care of time with Him. Okay? You got to have that shut the door mentality. You got to be able to turn the world off because the world will keep going. And I have enough, I'll be honest with you, I have enough distractions inside my own head not to be distracted with phones and other things going on outside. I have a pair of noise-canceling headphones in my office, and I use them pretty frequently. And it's not because anybody offends me. It's because I need to get that time where it's just me and God, and I don't want to hear anything or anyone else. You know? Works out pretty nicely till I forget my cell phone's on and starts ringing in my head. Finally, preeminence. You know what that word means? It means above or before everything else. You see, you have to remember in prayer that God is above and before everything else. As a matter of fact, that's the point of these messages from verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You see, it's putting God in His rightful place. And I want you to stop and think about this. When it says, you know, go in, shut the door, go to your inner room, shut the door, and pray to the Father. There is a deep, moving, heart-moving family connection there. And I want to explain it like this. When I was growing up, I remember at a very young age, my dad was my hero. I wanted to go with my dad. I wanted to work with my dad. I wanted to play with my dad. I wanted to go hunting with my dad and fishing with my dad because my dad could do anything. And I still remember this day. I was very young in elementary school. I told somebody, I don't remember who it was I told, but I told somebody, my dad can whip your dad. That's how much I thought of him. My dad was great. Until I got to be a teenager, then he lost his mind. I don't know what it was. He just didn't know anything anymore. You and I both know what it was. I was a smart aleck teenager and didn't appreciate what he knew. But I go back to that time where I wanted to be with him. That I'd have done whatever he asked me to do just to be with him. Because he was my dad. Shouldn't we have that kind of desire for our Heavenly Father? You're my Heavenly Father. You know, Jesus put it like this. It's wherein we cry, Abba, Father. It's that relationship. It's that dad-father mentality. Prayer is not a chore. It was never intended to be some religious ceremony that you go to check a box. Prayer is the opportunity to be with your Heavenly Father. My dad, my spiritual dad. And I'm not belittling God when I say that. It's a term of endearment. And quite honestly, I think most of us forget how awesome our God is. You see, when I'm in trouble, He comes. My God, when I'm in need, He comes and provides. My God, when I'm sick, heals. My God, when I'm scared, comforts. My God, when I'm disappointed and discouraged, can throw His arms around me and love me so much that I know everything's going to be okay. Why wouldn't I want to be with my God? He is the most important being in the universe. And if I have time to spend on personal one-on-one, or if I have that opportunity to spend that one-on-one time with my Heavenly Father, why wouldn't I not only do it, but why wouldn't I run to it, turn off everything, shut out the world, close my door, and say, Lord, it's so good to be with You. You see, it's then that Jesus says, your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. Interesting word, and we discussed that word secret last time. That word secret means inward or innermost. And he's not just talking about the room there, even though he is talking about an inner room where you go and you escape. But your God not only sees that inner room, he sees the inside. And I think that's what we need to understand to get on track with our prayer life. God's not impressed with words and phrases and my religious check the box. God's concerned with what's here. I'm not going to impress him by my speech and, you know, my knowledge of the Word of God. He's God. He's concerned with what's here. And I think the first step in prayer is that we come to that point where we say, yes, God, I want to spend time with you. Our Father in heaven. Oh, we are reminded today of what a privilege it is to be your child. We are reminded today that sometimes we get like that wayward teenager and we think we know best and we get to doing things on our own and we forget to come to you in prayer. Father, forgive us for our arrogance. Father, we come to you today just to have that one-on-one personal time. Father, we've come to the invitation here today, and this invitation, Lord, is yours. It's an invitation that invites people to come to you. And so, Lord, I pray now that during this invitation, you'll give us the heart to respond. And I pray that you'll be glorified by every move that's made. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I want to ask that you stand. And I want to ask that for those who are reminded of what prayer should be. I want to ask you to be praying during this invitation. I'm not going to tell you, bow your heads now, and I'm not. But for those of you who are reminded that, you know, I've missed God. I've missed that time of when it's just me and God. I've missed that interaction. I've missed knowing His presence. I've just missed God. I'm going to ask you to be praying. I'm going to ask you to be renewing that relationship today. But as you're praying, I want to ask you to specifically pray for one thing. You see, there are lost people in this service today. People who need to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've never experienced what it's like to be in the presence of your Heavenly Father. To know His goodness and His grace. To be surrounded in His love and His comfort. They've never had that experience. So I want you to pray. I ask that you pray for them in this invitation. And I want to advertise to everybody here. If you would like to pray, our staff is on up here at the front. We'd love to pray with you. You come. If you'd like to just spend time, just you and God at this altar, you come. And if you'd like to be saved, if you'd like to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God today, I'd invite you to come. Bottom line is this, Jesus is the answer to whatever need you may have. Will you come and let Jesus take care of your needs?